for another wonderful and a bright day. We give you praise and glory, O God. We thank you that we have the opportunity of your word, O God. Lord, come wash us, O God, by the water of the word this morning in Jesus' name. Above all, O God, give us wisdom, O God. Make us wise, O God, with the wisdom of heaven in Jesus' name. Touch our lives with divine wisdom. Every area of our lives, O God, we want you to touch this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you are welcome to the continuation of the teaching on divine wisdom. Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. James 3, 13 to 18. That's our text. And it says, who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him, by his noble living, show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, that is envy, and contention, that is rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourselves on it and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, that is animal-like, even devilish, demoniacal. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, that is undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, it's courteous, that is considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unflinched, that is free from doubt, wavering, and insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others. That peace, which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals with undisturbedness in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passion and moral conflicts. Praise the Lord. And of course, our memory verse says that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So God is so keen that we get wisdom. God is so keen that we are wise in heavenly ways, in heavenly things. Praise the Lord. And so last week we looked at what wisdom means. Simply put, is the correct application of knowledge. So as a child of God, the word that you are hearing right now is probably to some people a piece of information. But then you will be wise when you start to apply this word to your life. Then it becomes your wisdom. You'll be wise. If you need me, let me know. Okay. You'll be wise to begin to apply this word to the way you do things. That is wisdom. So that what we hear now is not just an information. It becomes a way of life. And we said last week that by the time you add divine, the word divine, divinity, to wisdom, it means it's God-given wisdom. It is supernatural. And only God can give it. Let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 verse 20. Daniel 2:20. What does it say? It said, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his." Verse 21. "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Praise the Lord. So where does wisdom and godly knowledge come from? From God. It comes from God. And of course, we look at different types of wisdom. We are not going to go through them. You know, we are not going to go through all, but the Bible makes us to understand from James chapter 3, verse 18 onwards. Say, look, wisdom that brings envy, jealousy, competition, and what have you, that is not heavenly wisdom. He said, but the wisdom of God is peaceable, is holy, is pure. And I want to believe that that is the kind of wisdom you will start to operate in now in Jesus' name. And I remember I also told us that you cannot say, for example, because, oh, you want the things of God to work well, that's why I told that lie, or that's why I did that thing. For example, I remember there was a guy who was supposed to be a level 4 officer in Nigeria who stole about 39 million naira. How many of us had the story? Eh? And when they asked him, he said he gave it to the church. He bought them generator. Please, can somebody lock the door out there? Because of the air conditioner, they say it's going to be 37 today so that our kids can, you know, enjoy the coolness of the place. Thank God. So, when they ask him, how did he spend the money? How many of us remember the story? It was there in the papers. How did he spend it? He said he gave it to the church. If you steal and you give it to the church, God will not bless you. It's true. In fact, go and read about tithing. Very well. Go and read Leviticus. Read Deuteronomy, read Leviticus. In fact, the Bible went as far as saying, he said, if somebody prostitute themselves and bring the money as tithe, the Bible is so specific, he actually stated out, if you go and steal and give it as tithe, you are in trouble. So it has to be godly wisdom. God will give us his wisdom in Jesus' name. That wisdom will transform your life in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at what divine wisdom is. This is also known as godly wisdom, wisdom from above, heavenly wisdom, true wisdom, fear of God. These are the different names. James chapter 3 verse 17. Can somebody read for me? James 3:17. So it's pure. is peaceable. It encourages peace. It is gentle. It is easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality.
And without hypocrisy.
Without hypocrisy. So it says it as it is. That's wisdom. But what the kind of wisdom we see people display these days, the so-called children of God, the kind of wisdom we display these days, you will just know that God is not in it. So if your wisdom does not meet this criteria, if it is not of truth, if it is not of hypocrisy, you say, just let him go, you know, just do your own. It's hypocrisy. And you know it's not from your heart. I remember somebody came to me one day and said he wanted me to, because somebody had said that we were no longer as close as we used to be before. And the guy said, please, you know, I want you to. And I told him, I said, look, this is what this person has done. I'm not happy about it. He said, look, you just do your own. You just try and, you know. And I told him, I said, you think God doesn't know my heart? If I just play the game, play along. That is why it will look like, if you are not doing well, I will let you know. You are not doing well, I will tell you. You may not like me for it. You may think my standard is too high or whatever. I will tell you, rather than, you know, smiling and embracing you in your presence, and when you are gone, I destroy you with my mouth. So whatever I say now, I can say it. If I talk to you about somebody that they have done something, be sure I've told them to their face too. Praise the Lord. That's the wisdom of God. God will give you his wisdom in Jesus' name. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 6. 1 Kings 10 6. Let's be quick, otherwise we won't cover much ground. Another person, open to Ephesians 3:10. 1 Kings 10:6.
Land of thy heart and of thy wisdom.
Praise the Lord. He said, it's a true report. She came. To his heart. That Solomon was so wise. So she decided to come and test. Do you know that when the wisdom of God operates in your life, people will come and actually test you? They want to hear. That same person who said I should manage it, by the time he asked me and I finished, he said, of a truth, this is what they say about you. They say you will say it the way it is. And I said it the way it was. Praise the Lord. She said, I'm not disappointed. He said, the person told me whatever. He said, look, whatever he says, I don't even have to tell you. Whatever he says, I know I'm wrong, but whatever he says, that's the way it is. He said, true. I mean, ask my wife. The guy said, true. This is what the guy said. He said, the way you say it, that's the way it is. Praise the Lord. They came to find out if the wisdom of God was indeed in Solomon. The queen came and found it to be so. When people try to check you out, they will find that the glory of God upon your life is so in Jesus' name. Yeah. Ephesians 3:10.
The unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places.
Can you read that again?
God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers.
Praise the Lord. Let's leave it that way. He said, God's purpose is what? Is to use the church to do what? To display his wisdom. In other words, the church is what? Is part of God's idea and is the wisdom of God. The way he set up the church and all that happens in the church is what? Is part of God's wisdom. Now look at it this way. I keep saying this. The church keeps working hard so we can be like the world. In other words, As we work hard to be like the world, what are we doing? We are abandoning the wisdom of God to take on the wisdom of the world. Because the church is the wisdom of God. It's his own idea. It's the way. I keep telling people, when people say, you meet a lot of people, it's very common in Australia. After they fought the pastor and abused him, and they stopped going to church, you ask them, where do you now fellowship? They say, we do home church. It's me and my family, we do home church. I told them, I've told a lot of people, and I said, look, the best idea that God thought of to bring together his people for a journey to heaven was the church. And do you think he was foolish? The Bible says that's God's wisdom. He wants to show, display his wisdom to the world. That's why he set up the church. And I often say, the problem is that you are not willing to submit. That's the problem. Pride. Lack of submission. That's the problem. That's why people run away from churches and they will keep going from one church to the other, keep going from one church to the other. But the Bible makes us to understand that church is God's idea and his wisdom. I like the Yoruba saying. They say if a bucket is leaking in Perth, if you take it to Melbourne, if you have not fixed it, what will happen? It will keep leaking. First of all, fix that bucket. And then wherever you take it to, the integrity of the bucket will be maintained. Praise the Lord. Divine wisdom is not a function of greatness or age. It's not at all. You may be great. You may even be, you see, that's what the problem people have. You may even be a professor. You may not be wise in godly things. You use worldly wisdom. I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo one day. Maybe I've shared this with you. And he said he met one of his old friends. And they were talking. And the old friend said, hey, thank God, oh, you are such a great man now. All these things you do. Do you know me? I can also do the same thing. He told him, he said, you can't do it. Because you haven't got the grace of God upon your life that I have. Because he knew him, he automatically assumed that he can do the same thing. You cannot. It's not based on your age. It's not based on your qualification. It's not based on this thing. It's God-given. God will release his grace upon your life in Jesus' name. Let's open to Job chapter 32, verse 9. And I'm going to show you something that I learned. Godly wisdom to the world may be foolish. Be quick, Job. Praise the Lord. Great men are not always wise, nor the aged. People are old. They don't necessarily understand judgment. They may not know the way of God. So your worldly qualification may not qualify you. That is why, first of all, we have to come under the authority of God. And you'll see what God can do with your life. If you carry the understanding of the world to the things of God, you will fail. In the last few days, I began to understand that the life of the Spirit is so different from the life of the world. Sometimes you wonder why some people are so great. It will not make sense to you. I will share a testimony with you. This is my own secret. I will share it with you. About 20 years ago, somebody gave me 200 naira to buy something for him. I took the money from this guy and I left the city we were living together at that time. I went away to another place, and that was the place where he wanted me to buy that thing for him. My wife can bear witness. I now gave the 200 naira to someone else because it was the person who knew where we were to buy what the guy wanted me to buy for him. And the guy I gave the money to, what did he do? He spent the money. I never got that money back. I mean, many of us who know what I mean. Then I was, 200 naira was a lot of money to a young doctor that was earning about 510 naira. Somehow, I never went back to that guy. I never gave him his 200 naira. Eh? See, and I left Nigeria. But I kept telling my wife that I have to make restitution because I have the guy's 200 naira. And I've been searching for this guy. All my life, I've been searching for him. So I got on the Facebook. I put his name there. I couldn't find him. So I've been searching. I got in touch with some of the people whom we were living together. Finally, I got in touch. The guy now lives in northern Sudan. Praise God. I wrote to him on Facebook. He didn't reply. So I thought maybe he was angry with me. You know? So, finally, I wrote on Facebook. I said, please, you better get in touch with me because you need to hear me. Praise the Lord. So he got in touch with me. And I told him about the 200 naira. He said, look, since it happened, he said he has forgotten. He said he has forgotten that 200 naira. I said, you can't forget. I said, I have to give it to you. I said, if you don't take it from me, I want to pay it with interest, whatever interest will have generated over these years. I will send it to your wife because the wife is in Nigeria. He now told me a story which opened my eyes. That's why I'm telling you this. He said, you know what? He said, I receive. Now he's born again. He's born again, he's moving the Lord. He said, I receive the 200 naira. And I bless you. He said, you know what? He said, recently that Bishop Oyedepo just gave a testimony. That's where I'm going. That one day God told him, I'm just telling you, the wisdom of heaven is different from the wisdom of the world. He said, God told him to sell his car and go and give the money to Bishop Idahosa. So he sold his car. He went and looked for Bishop Idahosa and gave the money to Bishop Idahosa. Bishop Idahosa asked him, why did you bring this money to me? He said, God told me to sell my car and go and bring the money to you. And the man said, you know what? He said, right now, as I am, I don't even need the money you have brought to me. He said, I don't need it. He said, but because you have obeyed God and you have brought it, he said, you will never lack again in your life. I told my wife when I had it, I said, when people start to prosper and the world start to write about them, that they ride 4 jets, ride this, what they have done, you don't understand. Living the way, applying the wisdom of God is so different from applying the wisdom of the world. And when results start to come, the whole world will see, like they came to see the result of the presence of God in the life of Solomon. People will come and check you out in Jesus' name. And after he said that, he told me that story and prayed for me, I had peace. And I'm telling you, I've not had peace for a long time. I still have one restitution to make. One more. Praise the Lord. So if you have restitution to make, it's the wisdom of God. Go and make restitution. I'm telling you. For example, if you steal something, after you become born again, you are still keeping that thing. You haven't. That's part of the wisdom of God. Praise God. It's taking a different dimension this morning. So it is the will of God, our Heavenly Father, for all His children to operate in divine wisdom. Look at Proverbs 23, 15 and 24. Proverbs 23. Somebody quickly look at that. Until you start to apply the word of God to your life. I know about restitution. Anything that I can restitute, I will try to restitute it. My wife knows what I'm talking about. The other thing that I'm yet to restitute is a book. A library book that has been with me from when I was in secondary school. I have to buy that book, Nekon and Parker, A-levels. I have to buy that book and send it back. Praise the Lord. No, I'm serious. I was the library prefect. And that book was with me. I used it for preparing for JAMB. I have to buy a new one and send it back to my old school. Praise the Lord. You have to make restitution. It's part of the wisdom of God. If you think you can just waggle your way without doing what is right. No. As much as possible as you can, you better do it. Proverbs 23. Can somebody read, please?
My 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him.
Praise the Lord. And do you know what wisdom is? The sum total of wisdom is the fear of God, isn't it? Praise the Lord. In the next 3 minutes, let's look at characteristics of divine wisdom. James 3:13. Somebody quickly read. We'll just read the Bible. James 3:13. Somebody open 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 12. Somebody open 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 16. Who is there? James 3:13. That's why we do draw your sword so you can open quickly.
Show it by the good life, by deeds done in humility,
yes.
That comes from wisdom.
That comes from wisdom, from above, that makes you humble. Okay, yes. 1 Peter 2:12.
That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the
praise the Lord. So the divine wisdom, godly wisdom, he say, have your conversation honest. In other words, let your behavior be a honest behavior, be upright, be honest with people, and do what is right. And I'm telling you, 10 years down the track, they will come. On November the 24th, my wife can be a witness to this. On November the 24th, we got a letter. And the kids probably know. We got a letter, or we got a card from somebody who used to be in this church. They left. They now wrote a letter to us, thanking God for our lives. Is there at home? Stating certain things to the glory of God. Have your conversation, your behavior, let it be honest and upright. You may be misunderstood now. It took 5 years for Nigeria to write a letter to me, or 5 or 6 years, to say we are sorry. It may take that long, but I'm telling you, God will justify you in Jesus' name. So let your conversation be upright before people. Yes? 1 Peter 3:16. Just be gentle. Be respectful. Yes? Keep your conscience clear.
Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live, because you belong to
Christ. Praise the Lord. So you just keep your conscience clear, but tell people the truth. Don't go arrogantly and say, you are nobody, I know it all. No. But as long as you go there and say, look, my brother, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is what the word of God says, and so on. People may be angry with you. One thing I've learned is that when you tell people the truth, they are not going to tell people that because you told them the truth, that's why they're angry with you. they will look for some fault in your own life. They will look for some other things and start to say, well, yeah, he does this. They will never address the problem. But yours is to tell it as it is, gently, with love. And as time goes on, some people, if they do have the Spirit of God, truly, they will come to a realization. And they will come to you and say, indeed, I know you are right. God will strengthen you in Jesus' name. If some of us are so afraid of the discomfort, whatever discomfort you go through is a temporary thing. It's temporary. But what about the discomfort, an everlasting discomfort that goes with displeasing God? That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. So divine wisdom, it is pure and with good intentions. It fosters peace, is gentle, is easy to be entreated. In other words, if somebody has done, you know, somebody comes and says, look, I got it wrong. Please forgive me. And you say, no, I will never forgive you. That is not divine wisdom. Somebody says, look, I got it wrong. You know, brother, let's, you know, it's easily entreated. You must be able to say, look, I forgive you. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 20 to 23. Quick.
As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see. So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, my father, should I kill them? Should I kill them? Of course not, Elisha replied. Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master. So the king made a great feast for them and then sent them home to their master. After that, the Arameans raiders...
Okay, praise the Lord. Let's leave it at that. You know the story. When Elisha... You know, every time this other king plotted against the king of Israel, the prophet would tell the king that this is what is being done. First, 50 soldiers were sent to arrest him. What happened to them? What happened to those soldiers? They roasted there and then. A second set of 50 came. What happened to them? They roasted. The third set came. You know, the wise ones started to beg the man of God. These people were meant to invade Israel. But Elisha struck them with blindness and took them to the heart of Samaria. Of course, when the king of Israel saw, as soon as he saw, you see, remember the same prophet that roasted some people, that spared some people. As soon as he saw, I just pray that we'll have the Spirit of God in our lives in Jesus' name. So that we'll take the right step at the right time. As soon as the king saw, he thought, oh yes, it's time to descend on them. Say, my father, should I kill them? He said, no. Spare them, feed them, send them to their father, to their king. Send them back home. And do you know that by your good conversation, some people will be won to Christ? Your life will convert people to Christ in Jesus' name. So it is devoid of deceit, partiality, and hypocrisy. It is not an accomplishment, rather, it is an endowment. Ah, praise the Lord. It's not something you achieve. It's not something you learn. It's something that God gives you. Can we look at John chapter 3 verse 27? It's an endowment God gives you. Ah, you will have divine wisdom in Jesus' name. John 3 27. So, a man can receive nothing except it is given him from heaven. Praise the Lord. Job 28, verse 12 to 13. Job 28, 12 to 13.
Where can wisdom be found? Mm-hmm. Where does understanding dwell? Mm-hmm. Man does not comprehend its worth. Mm-hmm. It cannot be found in the land of the living.
Praise the Lord. So where is wisdom? It's in heaven. God will indeed give us wisdom in Jesus' name. When we have godly wisdom, it seeks to please God and work for the greater purpose of the kingdom of God. That is it. Godly wisdom will seek to please God and work for the greater good . I will tell this story before I take 2 minutes of questions. I keep telling people, I said, the judgment that Solomon passed between those two women, you know what? I said, if that woman who said, spare the child, if that woman was not the biological mother of that child, even if she was not the biological mother, she was worthy of being a mother. She was worthy of being what? A mother. That's why today, Department of Child Protection, you may be the biological mother, biological dad of somebody, and they know that you are going to destroy that person. What would they do? They will take that child from you and give it to a proper mother or a proper dad. That was what Solomon did. So why am I saying this? Godly wisdom will seek to please God. It's for the greater purpose of the kingdom of God. When you see somebody who says, you see, we are going to finish ourselves. They don't know me. You know, we are going to finish ourselves there. You know, they haven't got godly wisdom in them. Godly wisdom will not seek to destroy. Godly wisdom will seek to what? To build. Praise the Lord. Any questions? Please. 2-3 minutes. Any questions before we pray? Okay, let's rise on our feet. All that you are going to ask God, because in all you're getting, get wisdom, get understanding. Why don't you pray to God? Say, Father, give me godly wisdom. Give me divine wisdom, O God. Send divine wisdom into my life. Lord, godly wisdom, that is what I want. Divine wisdom. Give it to me, O God. Lord, send the wisdom to me from heaven. Send wisdom to me from heaven. Lord, I want to live my life with divine wisdom. I want to live my life with divine wisdom, with heavenly wisdom. Send wisdom to me from heaven, O God. Send wisdom into my life. Lord, I want to begin to operate the wisdom of heaven. From today on, I want to operate the wisdom of heaven. Send wisdom to me in Jesus' name. Let everything about me reflect the wisdom of God. Let everything about me reflect the wisdom of heaven. Let everything about me reflect the wisdom of heaven. My Father, my God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom, O God. Give me wisdom that confounds the wise of this world. Give me wisdom, O God, that confounds the wise men of this world. Oh, because I know wisdom is not according to age or qualification or anything. The heavenly wisdom is given, is endowed. Lord, endow me, O God. I belong to the family of the living, O God. Endow me with heavenly wisdom in Jesus' name. In purity will I live, O God. In purity, O Lord, will I deal with people in purity and in righteousness in Jesus' name. Help me, Father. Give me heavenly wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray, O God, that every one of your children will start to operate in heavenly wisdom from today in Jesus' name. Because your mighty hand is upon them. Their no will be no. Their yes will be yes in Jesus' name. The world will know them that indeed they belong to you. That if you are seeking the truth, if you are seeking righteousness, they know where to go. Because the hand of the Lord is upon these ones in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.